News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Today marks the beginning of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation Conference. Nurses expected to call for extreme weather compensation. We're joined by Edward Matthews, Deputy General Secretary of the INMO. Edward, just let's start with that extreme weather compensation call. What's being advocated here? What are you calling for?
Good morning. Well, firstly, we have a red weather policy in place. It's a bit odd to be talking about that when we have the sun shining. But as we know from climate experts, we are to experience increasing levels of red weather events, pardon me. But we have a policy in place and it's very modest. It deals with when people have to come in early, extremely early to work, when they have to stay overnight unexpectedly at work, when they have to be taken to work by the army, the civil defence or members of our farming community when others rightly are staying at home. And it provides for very modest compensation. And what we want is that to be applied in a reasonable, supportive and manner and in a way that recognises effort across
how modest services. How modest and how reasonable are we talking about?
Oh, so overnight, if a person stays overnight, they would be paid just north of €70. So we're not talking about anything extensive here. That's for an entire night staying in the workplace away from your family. People don't object to doing their duty, but when they do their duty, they expect to be reasonably treated and reasonably accommodated. And one of the things that's particularly irking our members is that when they're required to stay, when people are fighting with them over whether they'll be provided accommodation or not, but when they have no means to get home or no means to get back to work, but yet they're being asked to stay to provide an essential public service.
You know the Roy Keane argument. You know the Roy Keane argument. Do your job.
Oh, absolutely. Nobody objects to doing their job and that's absolutely fine. But when you have to stay away from your family when you're not at work, you deserve to be reasonably accommodated and not for your employer not to be fighting about whether they'll accommodate you.
That happens to loads of people. Like during the recent storm warning here, we had to stay overnight the night before. Like I wasn't paid extra to do it.
Look, our members have a policy in place. We're not seeking a new policy. We're seeking that they review the policy that already exists. We're talking here about the provision of an essential health service, life and death services by safety critical professionals who have a job to do. And they do their job very well, but they are workers at the same time and they're not required to work 24 hours a day. They work 12-hour shifts as it is, very long shifts. All they're seeking is a review of a very modest policy that exists to ensure that it is universally applied. And if they're required to stay overnight, that somebody provides them with reasonable accommodation and isn't arguing with them about whether they need it or not when they can't get home or can't get back to work, but are willing to stay overnight for a very, very modest payment. And otherwise, all we're seeking is a review of that policy.
Okay.
But otherwise...
What else have you got on the agenda?
Well, the overall theme of the conference is inclusion health. We're looking there at the healthcare needs of persons who may be regarded as socially excluded, those suffering from homelessness, substance misuse, poverty, cultural or ethnic barriers to healthcare, and the very life-changing work that our members are engaged in and more that needs to be done to ensure that health services are designed around those people and that health services change lives in the way that they can. There's also a very clear safety focus, safety really from two lenses. One is around assaults on our members in the workplace and the other is around safe staffing. In terms of assaults, we see just shy of 4,000 assaults on nurses and midwives between February 24 and February 25. A major part of that is overcrowding in the health services. We're seeing those assaults arising in areas where we wouldn't have seen them previously, like paediatric services, maternity services. And again, safety critical professionals need to be at work worrying about curing people and providing the care that they need, not about whether they'll be assaulted or abused. We need a zero tolerance policy across society for this predominantly female workforce, that people understand if you abuse the caring relationship with a nurse or midwife and assault or abuse them, that you will face prosecution and very significant changes to security provisions throughout hospitals in all areas where there's a risk for our members. We're also going to be looking at safe staffing levels. We have an independent measurement of what the minimum safe staffing levels for nurses and midwives are in many departments. That's independently determined by the Department of Health. What we require is legislation to underpin that, to give the independent regulator, as part of licensing hospitals, the power to say to healthcare providers, both public and private, you must provide this minimum level of staffing because that is what is necessary to provide safe care that patients expect.
How are we struggling on staffing levels? Do we not? I saw a figure recently. Do we not have the second highest number of nurses in the OECD?
The OECD figures are based on the entire register. They're not based on the patient-facing register. The patient-facing element is much lower and the OECD figure doesn't match that. And also in the OECD figures, you're looking at people including nurses who, for example, work in dental clinics, nurses who are veterinary nurses or other people who are not in practice.
I'm sure that's not unique to Ireland, but anyway.
But the independent measurement of safe staffing is not something that we have brought about. This is a government policy. And what we require is the independent regulator to be able to say that if you're going into a medical and surgical ward tomorrow that's consistently overcrowded, that's consistently minimally staffed, and if two or three people resign or retire and then you have the bare minimum safe staffing levels, that there should be no bureaucracy in replacing those people.
Edward,
they need to be replaced for safety.
Edward Matthews, Deputy General Secretary of the IMO, thank you for talking to us and best of luck with your conference which begins today.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.